Blog Talk Radio.
Kong banging on your chest. You could beat the world, you could beat the war. You could talk to God, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up, you can beat the clock, yeah. You can move a mountain, you can break rocks. You could be a master, don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you go find yourself.
Standing in the Hall of Fame,
yeah.
And the world.
You can run the mile, you can walk straight through hell with a smile. You could be the hero, you could get the gold. Breaking all the records they thought never could be broke. Yeah, do it for your people, do it for your pride. You're never gonna know, never even try. Do it for your country, do it for your name. Cause there's gonna be a day when you're
dead.
To another edition of Weekdays with Murph. On the show today, I'm doing things a little different. I'm very pleased to welcome a entertainment insider, if you will, who also happens to be a very dear friend of mine. Please help me welcome to the show the incredibly lovely Angela Durrell. And here we go.
Hey Cody,
hey,
how you doing? Hi,
pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. That's such a great song.
I love it.
That's
one of my favorites.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, how you doing? What's up?
Pretty good. Just a run in the show, taking life easy a little bit, you know.
Well, good. Well, you're gonna have to, you know, get moving with the Christmas shopping pretty soon if you want to get it done.
I'm
just doing all Amazon this year, so.
Yeah,
Amazon and Outlet. Yeah. I'm not even going near Walmart.
I'll stick to that too, I think. Yeah.
Mhm.
So did you have a good Thanksgiving?
I did, actually. My family's scattered right now. And my sister is back in New Hampshire, and my mother is she was on the road actually during Thanksgiving. So I went over to her friend's house. and had Thanksgiving dinner with them, which was great because you don't have all the family squabbling and stuff. It was just very relaxed. So it was fantastic. So I had a good time and then, you know, came back home and I watched movies for the rest of the day. So
that sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was taking a look at your IMDb.
Oh, boy.
And you I worked in the casting department of one of my favorite movie franchises ever.
Uh-huh.
The Hangover Part 3.
Oh, yes, I did. Yeah. Yeah, I've actually never seen a single one of those movies. Not a one.
Hilarious and funniest movie ever.
Oh, yeah? I've never seen a single one. I mean, I didn't even know who was in the movie when I got the call to do the casting on it. I'm like, Hangover? What is, you know, I'd heard of them, but I didn't really know who was in them.
Right.
So I actually had to go to IMDb to, you know, figure out, you know, who is this and, you know, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, that was a pretty grueling shoot. I hated that job actually because, well, not the job itself. It was great working with, you know, those people and, you know, and it was down in Nogales, Arizona, which is, you know, literally right across Mexico and Nogales, Mexico. There are two, you know, twin cities basically.
Yeah.
And but the problem is it's about an hour from where I live, an hour and 15 minutes, give or take. So I had to commute every day to the set in Nogales, Arizona, which, you know, I'd be on set from, gosh, I mean, depending on when my call time was, I mean, it could be 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it was 8 a.m. to, you know, midnight, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
But then I would go back home. And then I would have 6 hours between the time I got out and off the set, had to drive home, and I had maybe 4 hours of sleep a night, if I was lucky, for about two solid weeks. I mean, by the time it was all over, I was just, you know, insensible. Couldn't string a sentence together to save my life, and I was so relieved when that job was over because I just did not feel human by the time it was done. But it was a good experience, and I really did. I made, you know, some really good friends down there in Nogales, and I had a great time working with the people. So it wasn't all bad.
You know, and I'm glad you brought that up because I tell all my listeners this, and my guests, I have so much respect for anybody that's worked even a day in the entertainment industry. I have the utmost respect for you guys.
I do too. You know, I mean, it can be a lot of fun. Obviously, I wouldn't do it if there wasn't something enjoyable about it. Nobody does, you know.
Right.
Hopefully they don't. You know, it can be a lot of fun, but it is work. I mean, some of it is just grueling and. It can be mind-numbing, just, you know, you're sitting on a set and you're waiting for them to, you know, finish a setup. And it can take, you know, a half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour between setups, and you're just sitting there twiddling your thumbs. And I remember my very first movie job, you know, actual job that I ever had on a set. The producer, I was all excited. I was really, really excited. And I'm like, this is great. And the producer said to me, well, yeah, but it's really, you know, sometimes it can be like watching paint dry. And I didn't believe him because to me this was so cool. But, you know, sometimes, honestly, it is. It can be just as tedious as, you know, dusting or vacuuming or anything else that you consider mundane because it is work. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a job. So, you know, there are some parts of it that just, you know, aren't glamorous, so to speak.
Right.
So, you earn your money, put it that way.
Yeah. But like I said, I have the utmost respect for you guys because you know this too. I'm a writer, and that's about as close as I've ever been to anything to do with the arts. So I'm a writer myself.
Well,
go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead. I didn't know if you were finished.
No, I was just going to say, how did you get started in this whole a crazy world of entertainment?
Like most people in entertainment or any kind of arts, I think, I got into it in school. You know, I started in theater. So, you know, I was doing summer stock, you know, during college and, between breaks in college and then theater during college and then theater after college. And one of my first jobs was actually with Time Warner Cable. I started out in advertising, in television advertising, which is, I was saying today, that's kind of ironic because I hate commercials now. but that's how I started out. I started out with, you know, advertising and writing commercials. I actually wrote commercial ads and promotions, you know, promo videos, that kind of thing, and started learning how to shoot them because we didn't have any creative department really in the office that I was at. So I kind of segued into doing that kind of stuff, and that's how I got my Academy membership eventually, and then, you know, got started in, you know, doing PA work and television and films and stuff like that. And my very, very first real professional job was Magnificent Seven, I think, when I did that show. And I was a PA at the time. It wasn't even in casting or anything like that. I was just a glorified gopher. And I was 28, I think, when we shot that. So, you know, it was just one thing after another, really. It wasn't any magic formula or anything like that. You just plot it along, I guess, and you take and you don't want to be too proud not to take a job because it isn't in the niche that you want. So for instance, if I wanted to be a writer but somebody offered me a PA job, I'm not going to turn that down because that's experience. So you don't want to turn down something that will give you that experience, even if it's not in your preferred field or whatever. You know, it's good. It's something good that's going to offer you some experience and some things that you can learn. That's the way I looked at it.
You know, I also tell my guests this, how I got started with the show with doing my radio show. It's kind of funny. I've been completely fascinated with Hollywood for as long as I can remember, specifically soaps. And I think we both share a love of that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, I had a few friends in this Blog Talk Radio scene that I'd call into their shows and speak with a few soap actors or whatever, you know. And so I figured, hey, you know what? If they can do it, I can do it. So I jumped in with both feet, and it's been over a year and a half, and I don't regret one second of it at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think if you do things that you enjoy, you shouldn't have any regrets. I mean, the way I always look at things is if you're just punching a clock and you're just doing a job because of the money, so to speak, and that's the only reason you do it, really. I mean, obviously, we'll take a job because we need the money. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But long-term, I think, you know, the things that we pursue, the things that are a passion and that we actually do pursue, we do it for the love of it. And for me, it's like, you know, I'm not stinking rich yet, but I really love I like what I do. I love what I do. I love my life the way it is right now. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't want to reach further and do more. It doesn't mean that I won't take that writing job that's, you know, just so unglamorous and boring, but it pays the bills. I mean, of course I will. But, you know, I think we all pursue those things. And if you pursue what your heart wants, you shouldn't have any regrets. So, you know, I think that's a good thing.
And And along the way, of course, there have been some downs, obviously, but I have got to speak to the most incredible people that you'd ever want to imagine in your life.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I remember, and we both have a mutual love of this person. Jen Lilly was on my show first January. I love Jen to death.
Yeah, I love Jen. She's great.
I love Jen to death. She's one of the sweetest people ever, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, until you take her pumpkin bread or, you know,
try
to steal her muffins. You've seen it's just she gets dangerous.
I haven't experienced
it's not pretty.
That yet,
it's not. I'm telling you, it's scary. I mean, I hope she's listening to this because I'm just, you know, I'm.
I'll take your word for it. I haven't experienced that yet, so I'll take your word for it. Jen, if you're listening, I'm sorry.
No, she's fantastic. I mean,
I love her.
Yeah, I had a great time talking to her. So.
Mm-hmm. And another person that I just love to death is he's just the coolest guy you could ever imagine, Mark Anthony Samuel.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, he's. So. I like him. I like all of them. I mean, any one of them. They're all. I generally think most people are approachable and decent and kind and, you know, so that doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, I haven't met Mark yet.
Right.
I hope I'll get to do a 10 with him at some point.
Mm-hmm.
That would be nice. But, yeah, I mean, I think soap actors in general, I think, are probably the most approachable of most actors, if you want to call them, you know, a genre of actors,
right.
Which I kind of don't like. I don't like to use that term, but it's the only thing I can think of right now. But they're probably the least precious that I've ever met or worked with at any point. You know, they're the closest thing to theater actors, I think, that you can get. They're very unpretentious. They look at this as, hey, this is my job. I got a job to do, you know, and this is work. It's not, like anyone else, they enjoy going to the award ceremonies. They get giddy if they win the Emmy, and who wouldn't?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely,
you know,
I would.
At the end of the day, they look at this, you know, I have to go to work. I'm going to work. It's not, you know, it's not. Mm-hmm. They're not precious about it. They're not. It's a different kind of mentality, I think, than you know, like some of the I worked with some people in movie sets that are not like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I'm not going to slag anyone, but they're not like that.
Right.
It's a different, it's a much more rarefied atmosphere than it is on a TV show, let alone a soap. So
I do remember the only guest that almost made me cry on the show one time in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I was chatting with GH's Britt. She tells a story that she was just so honest and candid or whatever, and that's what I love about her. So,
yeah,
she almost made me cry. Just that's the first time I've almost cried.
I think an important thing is, you know, you create a space that makes people comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that, which you clearly did, you know, she was able to, you know, feel comfortable telling that story, you know, and that really, you know, that's ultimately why we interview people, you know, because we want to tell their story. We want them to tell their stories to us.
Mm-hmm.
But I never really espoused to like the hard copy type tabloid show or that kind of thing,
right.
Which is, you know, it's sensational. I don't care about that. If an actor tells me, whoops, I didn't mean to say that out loud because I'm not supposed to talk about that, and, you know, well, you know what, I'm not going to blow your cover. I'm not going to spout it all over the place because I don't want you to get in trouble. No, my lips are sealed. Don't worry about it. I know that's like those tabloid type shows, I don't know if hard copy is even on anymore, but I never liked that type of reporting, if you will, because just, you know, I'm not interested in that story. I'm not interested in embarrassing somebody or you know, for God's sakes, or threatening their job. I mean, if they, you know, if they blurt out something that they didn't mean to and they wish they could take it back in, I don't want to be the writer that says, well, too bad, I got a scoop, you know.
Right.
Thanks, you know, I don't want to be that person. So, you know, but, you know, they are out there. I mean, I know that I have friends of mine who are actors who were working back in, like, the 80s and 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was, you know, during a point in time when, you know, like, if you had HIV or you were gay or you had an extramarital affair or whatever, you know, you had the National Enquirer sniffing around your garbage.
Right.
You know,
right.
And getting ready to just splash it all over the front page. And, you know, and they took pride in that. They took joy in doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And it really hurt them. I mean, it hurts people. It hurts people's lives. It hurts their feelings to do that. So really, what are you getting out of that if you do that?
Seriously, I know. It's just nuts. And this goes for me in my personal life as well. My friends and family will tell you that anything you tell me in confidence goes no further than me.
Yeah. Well, that's sort
that
of...
Probably
you know, has, the, what? Go ahead.
And that probably has a bit to do with my psychology training in college. So there you go.
Well, for me, that's the cardinal rule number one in publicity. If you're a publicist,
right. Mm-hmm.
Because the publicist is basically, besides you need to have your agent, you got your manager, but your publicist is the one that you never lie to. Okay, you
right.
don't. I told a client, once you can lie to anybody else, don't ever lie to me, because I'm the one that has to clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one that has to, you know, make sure that, you know, we give a plausible statement to the media if XYZ happens, or, you know, you don't want to be caught flat-footed.
Mm-hmm.
So number
Absolutely.
One, don't lie to me. But because the publicists are the ones that generally know where all the bodies are buried, there's a certain professional courtesy, if you want to call it. No, it's not even a courtesy. There's a certain professionalism. You do not talk about it ever. Ever,
right.
ever, ever.
Right.
You do not talk about it even if you don't work for that person anymore and you haven't worked for that person for, you know, 10, 15, 20, 25 years. It doesn't matter. There's still that confidentiality, you know, that you just don't mess around with that person's private life because you have been entrusted with those whatever you want to call them, secrets, information, privacy, whatever you want to call it, you know. And that I'm like that to this day. I mean, no, I don't work for, you know, the people that I talk to or I interview or who, you know, or people I work with on a set when I'm doing casting. But I just kind of look at it as none of my business.
Right.
You know, this is none of my business to start, you know, making it everybody else's business. So, no, I mean, I just don't talk about certain things. And if you ask me, you know what? Can we leave that out of there? Can we just not talk? Can you keep that to yourself, please?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I can,
right.
Because really,
right.
It's not going to do me any good to spout it out there.
Right, absolutely. I agree. And I'm glad you brought up your work as a publicist, because in doing this show, I've dealt with a few publicists, managers, agents, whatever, and they are the unsung heroes of Hollywood, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say they're definitely some of them. Definitely. Because you generally don't know who the agent is. You don't know
right.
who the man... The only people who care or know who the agent or manager or publicist is the other agents, managers, and publicists, you know,
right.
or the directors, or, you know, the behind-the-scenes people.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't generally hear those names. So I kind of get it on the one hand, like when you see the Emmys or the Oscars, when the actor is up there and, you know, going, I'd like to thank my agent, I'd like to thank my publicist, I'd like to thank, and, you know, people back home are just rolling their eyes and going, I don't give a crap because I don't know who these people are, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the other hand, the people in that audience who are in, you know, the auditorium mm-hmm. in that business, they know those names.
Right, yeah.
You know, so it's important for them to hear that validation that their colleague is being recognized for the hard work that mm-hmm. they did for that actor who is winning the award, you know. So it's I can see it on the one hand, yeah, the general public just doesn't have a clue who the agent or publicist are, much less what exactly they do.
Mm-hmm.
So, but on the other hand, as far as the industry goes, it makes sense that, you know, that of course actors are going to, you know, you're going to thank the people who helped you get there, because without that agent or manager or publicist or assistant or the director or whatever, you know, your job would have been a lot harder getting there.
Right, absolutely. So. I agree. And that, again, is why I say publicists, et cetera, are some of the unsung heroes of Hollywood. I was actually, as I said earlier, I was reading through your blog and mm-hmm. And you know about my blog, a GH blog. I've mm-hmm. been a writer pretty much my entire life. So
mm-hmm.
for me, writing is like, it's therapy for me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely just a cathartic. You get it all out there and whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually starting my first book. I don't know if I told
right.
you that on Twitter or not, but...
Yeah, the baseball thing.
Mm-hmm. I have a dream of seeing all 30 stadiums by the time I'm 30 myself. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'll be able to get it done, but I'm going to try.
Well, it's, you know, it's all in the journey, right? I mean, doesn't yeah. you know? Ultimately, it doesn't matter if you get there or get all of them
right.
done by the time you're 30. But the fun of it is doing it.
Oh, absolutely,
really.
It is.
That's the fun part.
Mm-hmm. But the journey is just. Is the fun part. And I could tell you some stories. Oh, my God. I could tell you a ton of stories, but you'll just have to wait for the book.
I think that's probably the better thing to do, because you want it to sell. Don't give it all away now.
Yeah. and I'm just going to say this for the for the listeners out there, if you want to laugh on Twitter, follow this woman. Follow this woman on Twitter.
Well,
if you want to laugh.
Some days. Other days, it's just, you know, just a full-out dose of Irish. So, you know.
I remember something you posted the other day, a chocolate-covered something or other, and I tweeted to you, I'm like, oh, why must you torture me like this?
Right, yeah, that was from the food porn
mm-hmm.
Twitter, which I mm-hmm. follow avidly.
Right.
I feel like, why should I be the only one to suffer? So I tweet the pain to everyone in my follow list, and they can just drool and suffer and pine right along with me, so I don't feel so alone out there.
There's only about a minute left, so...
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to thank you for taking the time to come on, and you have a...
Well, thanks for asking me, Cody. I hope it was entertaining, at least.
Oh, trust me, it was. You have a open invitation back to the show.
Oh,
whenever
well, thank
come
you.
Come back on, and I'd love to have you.
I appreciate that.
And, you know, I consider you a dear friend.
I appreciate that. I consider you one, too, and I really appreciate all your time.
Oh, thank you, Angela. I'll be talking to you on Twitter, okay?
Okay, I'll see you later.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed my little chat with Angela Durrell. By far, is one of the sweetest people on this entire planet. I love her to death. So I think I'm going to end the episode right now. you've been listening to Weekdays with Murph. Thank you and goodbye.